is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
We're going to be talking to the great Daniel Disney.
You don't have to give all 100 away, but can you give us a few of
85.
Your top, best, most amazing social selling tips?
Yeah, of course. The first one is your profile, your personal brand. It's the first thing I teach to anyone. It's the place to start. If you don't have the best possible profile or personal brand, everything else is pointless. You could write all the best blogs out there, but if they come back to your profile and it's not an attract, from a customer's perspective, it's not attractive.
Yeah. So what are some of the biggest mistakes you see with personal profiles? Like what would be not attractive besides like an ugly fat person?
I've had salespeople come to me and they've literally got a picture of them holding a pint next to their face as their profile picture. And unless you're selling pints, not really.
For those of you in America, a pint is a beer.
A beer, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So what do most people leave out of their profile?
Loads of gold. A lot of people build their profile as a CV. So they make it about them. So a lot of salespeople will have, you know, I'm the best salesperson ever. I smash my sales targets, because they write it as if they want to be hired by a sales manager. Mm-hmm. Whereas your customer doesn't want to know that you smash your sales targets and you're a ruthless salesperson.
Right. Actually, they might not want to work with you.
Right, exactly.
They might be
scared.
They
want to know how you help people and how you add value. So it's about trying to think about your customer first and building it to be attractive to them.
So give us another one.
Another one is consistency. Another one of the big areas a lot of people fall on is they'll do it for a day or a week and then they'll get back to ignoring it or forgetting it. You know, you need to show up regularly. You have to be on there. I mean, Jeffrey, I've noticed you've started to do lots of great quotes on social and, you know, they're gaining some real traction. The numbers are great. So I think you did one today. It was nearly 100 likes on it. And, you know, if you're there consistently, more people will start to see it.
Just as an aside, I'm doing a thing on Herbert Casson, who's like an old guy. And
he was an author in the 1920s.
Yeah, and he wrote Tips for Traveling Salesmen. And he said, all winners have scars. And it's a pretty famous quote by him. And a lot of people, I went to look for images of it, and a lot of people have it posted up on their LinkedIn or their Twitter without acknowledging him as the author.
Aww.
That pisses me off. And so I'm assuming that if you tell people to use a quote in one way or another, you make sure they acknowledge the author.
Yeah. And to be fair, that'll probably make it more impactful. People connect better if they see it's by someone else or by someone credible.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So give us the third one. Come on, Daniel, with things going threes.
Okay. Third one is to create your own content. So a lot of salespeople just share marketing content, which is just advertising.
Yeah. Rubbish, as you would say, isn't it?
Yeah, rubbish. Create your own content. Find your own voice. You know, connect with people. People buy from people. They want to see and get to know you. So start to write your own content, not about what you're selling, but about your customers and the industry and relevant topics.
So we have a lot of diehards who love that concept, but they think, I'm not a writer. What would you tell a salesperson who says, like, I'm not going to start writing. I can't start writing.
I'm not that good at it.
Yeah, I'm not. Who wants to hear what, you know, I'm going to say?
Well, here's the reality. I'm not a writer either. I didn't study writing. I wasn't a writer and in any part of my life. But 3 years ago, I started writing a sales blog and, you know, it's grown to be a really popular one. So I think a lot of salespeople are better writers than they think. They probably write really good emails, really engaging emails, because they're trying to engage customers. And actually, it's just changing a few little mindset tweaks to get comfortable in how you write a blog. But, you know, blogs are quite, they're no different to an email. It doesn't take you long. It shouldn't take you long to write. They're engaging. They're interactive. They're telling stories, which are all things that a lot of salespeople are good at. It's just getting used to it. But, you know, my first blog was terrible, you know, but I kept doing it, kept practicing, and you just get better.
Actually,
at it.
Your so first blog was terrible. I read it. Now listen, I read my first column that I wrote for the Business Journal back in 1992. It was horrible.
It's so funny because I read my first one recently and I was like, wow, this was really terrible.
Right, but you don't get good
unless
you do it.
But at the time I thought, oh man, this is really good. And now I think like my stuff's really good now. And so I hope in like a year I'm not like, oh, that stuff sucked, you know? But it's true. You do get better the more consistently you do it and the more you put time and effort and energy into it.
It was like my first cold call was terrible, but the more you do it, the better you get at it, the better you adapt, evolve, and fine-tune it. So it's just, yeah, practicing. And you don't have to publish everything, so you could write some blogs and share them internally before you post them live.
Hi, everybody. It's Motivation Monday.
Talk about passing on a sale because, you know, a lot of people, especially when you're starting a business, you want to take everything coming your way, everything.
Yep.
And there comes this point, whether you're a salesperson or a entrepreneur, where you have to say that sale may not fit my mold. That sale is going to take up too much of my time, be too much of a pain, literally be a drain and prevent me from making other sales. And you have to figure out if it's not good for you. And that's a hard thing to do.
I think that your gut will tell you one way or the other. I think you have to be sensitive enough about it. There's a conflicting issue. If you're working for a company and you have a quota, mm-hmm. or you have some kind of a sales plan, and this will help you hit that quote number, but you know the guy's going to be a crap customer, it's going to be a big pain in the ass, you have to sit with your sales manager and say, hey, what should we do? I would not unilaterally decide on it. I would try to bring somebody else into the mix.
Can we step back for a second and ask this question? When do you know that you're in a position where you can be a little bit more selective about the sales that you pursue?
Yeah, that's a real good question. I think for me personally, if sales are good, then you're going to be a little bit more selective. But you can't be arrogant about it. You have to be peaceful. You can't just say, no, you're not a good fit for us. You don't want to insult the other person. You just say, just be nice about it. Your language has to be reflective of, I'm not the best person to do this. Or, mm-hmm. you know, let me
introduce you to someone who is, because you never know. They might be able to provide you with a ton of referrals if you treat them right.
You don't know who they live next door to.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you burn a bridge by saying no to somebody when, in fact, all you have to do is say, here's someone better than I am to handle this.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a really hard position to be in. I know when I started my business, I took anything and everything that came my way because I needed to bring in the money. And then I got offered this project that I realized was going to take about 6 months of my time, and the value wasn't there. They couldn't pay me what I thought I needed for those 6 months. And it would actually prevent me from making the money I needed in those 6 months. And at that moment, it was like a no-brainer. I can't take this opportunity.
Well, it was a brainer. There's no such thing as a no-brainer. A no-brainer means you're an idiot. A brainer means you made an intellectual decision to not move forward.
A question that we get a lot is when to walk away from the heat of the sale when the prospect is taking, and you're giving, 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 when to know when to say, okay, listen, we got to move forward here.
Think about it in your own head. If this guy's a royal pain in the ass.
Or girl.
If this person is a royal pain in the ass and you can feel that it's not the right thing, just voice it up. Mm-hmm. Or tell them you need a date to decide on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you're allowed to say, I need to think about it. Right, there's exactly. No reason why you can't say that. It's like the best parenting technique on the planet.
Yeah. My dad used to use it all the time. He referred to it as the negative sale. And he would talk about the fact that I may not be qualified to do this for you, or you may not be qualified to do this for me. And they go, what do you mean I'm not qualified? Well, you're not paying us enough money in advance. Well, we can give you all the money in advance. Just take it away from the person and see how bad they want it.
But the key is knowing your value.
That's one of the things. The other key is knowing what your time allocation resources are,
mm-hmm.
so that you have an understanding that if this takes too much time and it precludes you from getting real sales or doing the things that you want to do or want to accomplish, you have to make that decision.
So have you guys ever turned down a sale? We have a bunch of you watching and listening right now, and we would love to hear from you about a sale you've passed on.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Have you ever passed on a sale? And most people don't. Most people take the shit sale and they live with the consequences.
Yeah, but all the highest performing people that I've been studying, they know when to say no. And that's key. And everyone knows that that's key, but they're not necessarily practicing it, except when you look at the highest performing people out there, they are saying no. They're saying no to projects. They're saying no to meetings. They're saying no to multiple things that are going to take their energy and time away from more valuable things.
I will guarantee you that today's guest is going to get a lot of 5 stars. His name is Sam Cauchi.
Training, the one thing that we always talk about is training is not an either or, it's an and. So mm-hmm. for companies that today are always looking for that one thing that's going to solve all of their training problems, the reality is there is no one software. Now, there is no one solution. And just like exercise, if you go to the gym, you got to do a bunch of different things to build a well-rounded physique or fitness profile. If you are...
Jeffrey is flexing his muscle right now.
Oh, you couldn't see that.
For those of you who cannot see him.
Sorry.
But if you're in training and you're trying to get an employee ready, they have to do a bunch of different things.
Right.
And I think the one thing that the HR learning space sometimes forgets, I don't think it's on purpose, but sometimes we just don't stop and think because we move so fast. You have a workforce that's changing, that's different, that has different skill gaps, different social skill gaps.
Different expectations.
They respond to different things. So with those experiences, what we should be thinking about as leaders in training, development, just as leaders in general is, how do we leverage that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've yet to find that. Now, who wrote the rule that learning has to be serious?
Or slow.
I don't know.
Whoever said it has to be this way, you have to read the manual mm-hmm. first. Who wrote that? So, you know, I think for us, we sat back
and clearly weren't trained.
Yeah. or you know what it is? They do what everybody else, they do to onto others what was done to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't stop and think what should be, what mm-hmm. should happen.
Let me throw this at you. This is a thought process. And if you're out there as a diehard and you are a sales leader or you are an HR person, of which we have thousands of those people listening to the podcast, you may look at a training module or a training platform or a training program and go, wow, this is really good. But you don't ask yourself the question, is this transferable to my people? And how are they going to receive this? Instead of saying, I'm going to make this mandatory, why don't you just make it fun?
Right. Mm-hmm. Make it something people want to do.
Right.
Not have to.
Exactly.
I was at a conference a few months ago, and you won't find this stat anywhere online, but I was at a learning conference. And one of the people that got up on stage was a chief learning officer from a pretty well-respected Fortune 500 company and made the comment that only about 8% of chief learning officers are confident that what they're doing is making an actual impact.
Man. Oh my God.
Oh man. On that's training. Scary.
We can imagine
you don't want to name that company.
Oh man.
But what does it rhyme with?
Voight.
Got it. And look, when you have that as a responsibility, if you're in HR, you're not responsible to make sure that their healthcare benefits are you're there to make sure that they are the best person they possibly can be, the most informed person they possibly can be, and the best representative of your company when they're out talking to other people, regardless of what their job is, if they're on the phone or if they're face-to-face or they're in the shipping department or the service department. They have to transfer your image or what you feel is your image. And we have found that by using the game metaphor or the game training process rather than the classroom process, it goes faster. It's more fun. People use it, and they actually talk about it.
Yep. And if you were to go back 3 to 5 years ago when I started the company and I was kind of thinking about the concept of using games mm-hmm. and using gaming mechanics and points and badges and leaderboards, I still remember the guy who told me, you can't call it a game, nobody will take it serious, right? I could see them today on the street. You know,
exactly. Comments.
You know, but the reality is not all games are effective at actually making you better. The companies are all over the place trying to, you know, put a spin on what they're doing it and call it fun or throw points on it or badges on it or leaderboards on it. But to your point, training should get you in a position where you can do the right thing, the right way, the right time, all the time. It's all about memory.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't remember what you learned, you never learned it.
This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.